Welcome to Civilly Speaking with host Sean Harris. Each month, Civilly Speaking brings you interviews on practical and timely legal issues on the local and national level. We hope you enjoy today's show.
Hello, I'm your host Sean Harris, and this is episode 65 of Civilly Speaking, brought to you by the Ohio Association for Justice. I'm here today with our guests, Charlie Ritgers of Ritgers & Ritgers, and Michael Brown from Find Law. Thank you both for joining us here on Civilly Speaking.
Thanks, Sean. Thanks for having us on.
This episode is brought to you by NFP Structured Settlements. NFP Structured Settlements is a leader in the structured settlement industry, offering comprehensive, value-added services to both insurers and injured persons. Their dedicated and experienced claims, legal, and settlement professionals strive to help injured parties maximize their benefits, as well as to assist all parties in an effort to settle cases effectively and efficiently. NFP Structured Settlements, passionate advocates, proven approach. Well, we have Michael and Charlie with us today, and we're talking generally about the business of the law practice, and specifically practicing law and the business of law in a pandemic, which is some pretty unusual circumstances. Michael, tell us about what approach you advise lawyers and law firms to try and reach potential new clients these days.
Thanks, Sean. I appreciate it. And the one thing that I really want to stress to the firms that I work with, talk to, and especially the OAJ members, because we all know that the firms that are members of the OAJ are typically the top firms in the market. I've always told people that, you know, before people hire you, even if it's a referral, they check you out. Even the ABA says that if you get a referral, somebody always gets three names on average before they start looking up each one of the people that were on the referral list. And when they look you up, they kind of see if they connect with you and who they compare you to the other two on the list. Okay. So it's always been a good idea to put as much about your firm out online as you can to help people make their decisions. Well, if you fast forward now to the pandemic, and you know, which hit back in March, where people were shut in, COVID-19, in my opinion, is the meteorite that hit the earth, and it has really changed the game. Because while it's always been a good idea to have as much of your firm and your brand online as possible, now it's a must. So in today's environment, Sean, your online presence is your only presence, and you need to have as much out there as you can where people are making their decision on who they're going to hire. So it's critically important. You know, what I say is that your online brand today has got to match your offline brand. You've got to look as good online when I come to your website or your social media, or if I look at anything about you online. You have to look as good as if I walk into that beautiful office you have with that wonderful decor, the wall of fame behind your desk. I've got to be able to see that when I'm online.
Well, and it's funny, you mentioned, you know, walking into a physical office. Obviously, that isn't happening as much anymore. A lot of lawyers are questioning the need to have a physical space and probably more focused on the digital space.
100% agree. You know, they are now, they're looking you up the same way, you know, the attorneys are, you know, the OAJ members are for the most part litigators. And they would never pick a jury just out of a hat. They would never pick a jury based on a name. They look up jury members, and they vet them completely before they agree to put them on the jury. Well, consumers are smart. Consumers are doing the same thing. They're vetting their choice to who they're going to hire. And let's face it, if they're hiring a lawyer, it's usually not a good thing. And in the OAJ members' case, it's usually a very big event or situation that they're looking to hire the best. And so they are vetting. You know, since the pandemic hit, people, you know, a lot of the firms that are out there that are referral-based firms, they've been great law firms for the past 40 years. And my concern is that they get through the next 4 years. Because referral firms are the firms where, you know, past clients give their name out to people and other lawyers give their name out to people, right? Or they get referrals from lawyers. Well, referrals only happen really when people get together socially and talk about life. You know, they're at lunch or they're at breakfast or they're at an event and they have a good conversation with somebody and then, oh, by the way, you know, my mom was in a terrible accident and was hit by a car and I really could use some help with that. Who do you know? Right? And then they say, you need to call Charlie Rickers. He's one of the best. And then they call Charlie Rickers. Well, people are not getting together socially and having that discussion. So right now, those people are going online and doing their own searches. My wife is using ClickList for her Kroger shopping, right? I mean, she never did that in the past. She just got in the car and went over to Kroger's. But now she's actually using ClickList and putting her list together and going over and picking up. My point of that is, Sean, people's habits have changed. And there are some things that after we come out of this pandemic are going to be permanent. And part of that will be people's comfort zone in doing their own searches online and finding information they need. Charlie, would you have anything to add to that?
Yeah, Mike, I mean, I agree with you, absolutely. And I think, you know, like things like commercial real estate and every other industry, the law is changing and people's willingness to come into an office or operate in the way they did 5 years ago has changed drastically. I think COVID has probably advanced the changes that we would have expected to see in about 10 years today. And if people were not online 6 months ago, I think that they should definitely be online today. And as you mentioned, you know, the referral firms, you know, we're a majority of our clients are referred to us by other lawyers and former clients. But the online presence now, as you mentioned, Mike, the happy hours, when you're, take social media, for example, if you're typically going out, you know, I usually have a lunch, breakfast, coffee, or drinks a few times a week with other lawyers, referral firms, big firms that don't do the type of work that we do. And now, if I post something on social media, and it doesn't have to be a story about an accolade that we have, it could just be something that people want to see. Could just be a picture of my family. The lawyers that I would typically be seeing in person, my hope is they see it, and that's our network, and we stay front of mind for those people that I'm not seeing as much since March because of COVID. One thing I would follow on with what you said earlier, which I absolutely agree with in terms of, you know, people can't walk into our offices. Some people do, but some people don't want to walk in offices right now. And you want to, I think your words were something to the effect of make sure that your online presence is as nice, and you said this more eloquently than I will, as walking into your office with your nice wall behind you of accolades. One thing that you can actually do for those folks who have nice offices is do a Google walkthrough. And I think that people are doing this more often now for the people who are probably a little bit older and want to see the type of building that the lawyer might be in without actually walking into it. They'll go to your business location on the map, and you can actually pay a vendor to do what's called a walkthrough. And someone can literally click through every office in your building and turn around by just the cursor on their mouse and see what the inside of your office looks like. So that's another opportunity for people at nice offices but don't have the ability to show them off right now.
Yeah, that is cool. A 360 view of your office, Sean, is what that's that's called.
In addition to just a website and online marketing, Mike, I know you talk about the idea of digitally future-proofing your practice. Talk to us about some of the other online strategies that lawyers can use to help modernize their law firms.
So in future-proofing your law firm, you know, once firms have kind of the base down pat, you know, the base is, you know, a great website, a great message, good branding and imagery and everything else. You know, what will really help future-proof your practice is you have to go beyond your website. Okay, people are going far beyond your website. Your website will initially engage them with your brand and your firm, but you have to go beyond. And what do I mean by that? I mean things like blogging, where you actually share your expertise, doing things like video, where I can actually see, feel, and hear your passion and your experience. So social media. As Charlie just mentioned before, I'll see posts of Charlie where maybe he and another attorney have had a nice victory in court where they've got somebody and not guilty. They got a nice award for a client. I'll see those, but I'll also see a post of Charlie and his wife and their beautiful daughter. And it's the title is like social distancing, you know, during the fall. And again, those things keep the firm and keep Charlie front of mind with the people that he's connected to. Okay, so staying front of mind. So social media is important.
Mike, let me ask you about social media before we move on there. I'm just curious because I've heard some lawyers talk about a ratio of posts that are personal versus professional, right? That if all you do is post about, here's what I did, here's what I'm doing, right? Work, work, work. That can be a turnoff. And obviously, if you go the other way, if all you do is post personal stuff, people don't know what you're doing. Is there in your mind, is there an ideal ratio between, 80-20, something like that?
I would say, is there an ideal ratio? I don't think there's an ideal ratio. I think, social media really reflects who you are. And you're 100% right. You don't want to be, all work and no play. Social media is really about who are you when you're not practicing law. When I go to your website, I expect to see you in a suit, and I expect to see all the things that you can do for me if I need a lawyer and what you do and how you can do it for me. When I come to your social media, Sean, I really want to see you. Who are you when you're not practicing law? I want to see some of the things you're doing. Are you involved in local charities? Are you promoting some of the things that are going on in the community that you're a part of? I want to see the things that aren't necessarily the things I would see on your website. So I would expect to see maybe half and half. Some of the best social media strategies for the people that I see that I work with are the ones where the firm is really promoting things outside of themselves. I have a client down in Madison, Indiana, and they promote businesses around Madison and events that are going on in Madison, Indiana. And it's incredible the responses they get from the engagement from the people that are connected with them. The Richter's firm, they have a great mix of personal and professional and what they're conveying. But I think a lot of times firms miss the mark on social media. They think, let's post the new law change on DUI or the new changes with insurance company rates or whatever. And that's not really going to move the needle as far as engagement. Does that help, Sean?
Sure. Charlie, how do you approach social media?
Yeah, I agree with Mike that it's a personal and unique approach. I don't think my approach would fit for every other law firm. But really, it comes down to one thing typically when I post something, and that is, are people going to want to see this? And if they don't, I usually don't post it. Now, as an example, if you have something that you want people to be aware of, for example, cats, I think the public needs to be very aware of the awful outcomes that court reform causes. As opposed to posting something discussing a horrible outcome, I think you're going to get more legs on the post and thereby more people are going to see it. If you post something positive while also informing the potential reader of the cap issue. And so, without formulating a specific post, you could talk about some progress being made and then also mention, because most people don't know, that certain cases are capped at a limit. And regardless of how injured a person is or how egregious a company's behavior is, a verdict will not go above that limit. So I think that for me, it just comes down to, are people going to want to see it? And it's more of a gut thing. I don't have like a set ratio, but I don't post 3 blog posts in a row. I think it gets boring for folks. And I think you need some variety, and it's a personal decision. And I'm a little bit more open with sharing pictures and some events that are more personal and family related than others. And it just depends on people's comfort level.
I'll tell you why that matters too, Sean, because they used to say, it's not personal, it's just business, right? That used to be an old adage. But today's adage is, it's not business, it's personal. It's the other way around. People want to like and connect with the person that they're going to hire, especially in professional services like hiring a lawyer. And so it is personal. There's, you know, the line gets a little bit blurred there. Another thing that I wanted to bring up, Sean, before we move off of that topic, in social media, I think the one mistake a lot of attorneys make is they don't pay attention to, like, LinkedIn. They don't pay attention to their connections. A lot of people may have a Facebook page for their business, or they may have a LinkedIn presence, but they're not building their connections. I need to see who you know that I know. Sean, as an example, while we were sitting here, I looked you up on LinkedIn.
Uh-oh.
And Sean, you and I, Sean, have never met, right? We've never met. But you know that you and I have over 50 people in common in our network. And for an example, Jen Lawrence and Nathan Stuckey and, of course, Charlie Richters. So you and I know these people in common. And if I was considering hiring you, Sean, I would feel very comfortable because of the people that you know that I know. It says we know 50, and I actually know probably 20 of them, and I actually like probably 10 of them. But I'm just saying is you've got a pretty good chance of winning my business because you've done a good job of connecting with your offline network, and you brought them online. Do you see what I mean? And so I think more attorneys need to pay attention to connecting with their friends and their contacts offline. Make sure they're connected online. That's a big part of that message.
You've noticed that lawyers aren't necessarily good at that?
You know, lawyers are really good at what they do. Particularly, again, I don't want to belabor this, but OAJ members are typically the top of the legal world. They're really good at what they do. They're not always necessarily good at doing their marketing, and a lot of them don't have time. And a number of firms out there, it's just a solo practitioner or maybe two attorneys, you know, with a paralegal, and they don't feel like they have the time to do it. And if they don't, you know, that's okay. You know, you're spending a lot of time being a great lawyer, which is most of the battle, but you really need to partner with somebody and figure out how to outsource that if you don't have the time to do it. And Charlie, you know, Charlie does a great job of a combination of outsourcing what he doesn't need to be doing and then controlling it all and making sure he owns the message and he does the social media posts and everything else. So if you don't have the time to do it, that's okay. You know, partner with somebody who can help you. But you can't ignore it anymore is my point. It's not going away. The pandemic, that will lift and people will come out more. But there are certain things that will be permanent, and this is one of them. Another thing that I want to make sure people understand is right now during the pandemic, you know, post-pandemic kind of situation, you cannot over-communicate with your clients. You know, it's surprising to me how many law firms did not have any message on their website about how they were operating during the pandemic. Richter's firm, they had a message right at the top of the banner. It said, you know, to protect your safety during the coronavirus, we offer telephone and video conferencing in place of face-to-face meetings. I mean, they were very clear that A, we're open, and B, we will meet with you either face-to-face virtually or by telephone, right? So you can't over-communicate with your clients right now. There were a number of people, you know, that told me that their phones were not ringing. And I was like, well, do people know you're open? Because a lot of people aren't sure if you're open or not. So you have to communicate during this pandemic. And when we're kind of in this limbo of are you open or aren't you open? Do you wear a mask or not wear a mask? All that kind of stuff.
And Michael, we've talked about, you know, that coronavirus is here for now, and we expect that it'll go away at some point. But the phrase that's probably overused of being the new normal these days of increased reliance on digital platforms. Talk to us about other ways that lawyers can kind of leverage the power of those digital platforms in their practice now.
So that's a great topic, Sean. And I think it's another topic where some firms are ahead of the game, but there are a lot of firms that are not practicing some of the things that really creates great customer service. One of the things that I will talk about is, you know, when you think about great customer service, what are some of the brands you think of? And a lot of people will say Apple, or they'll say Amazon or Nordstrom, right? It's easy to do business with them. If they make a mistake, they correct it times three. You know, they ship things to you tomorrow. You know, they create great customer service. People expect great customer service now. And some of the things that law firms should be doing to improve the way they do business with people is, you know, things like having a law practice software instead of just paper folders, or instead of keeping clients on a spreadsheet or whatever, having a law practice software, having DocuSign where you can send your fee agreement electronically. DocuSign is accepted by the court. Allow people to DocuSign your agreement, and it happens instantly instead of waiting 3 days for them to get the agreement, 3 more days for them to sign it and send it back, and then a few more days before it gets to your office. Adding chat service to your website, having a voice answer your phone 24 hours a day, having a voice answering service, online payment option. By now, your firm should have an online payment option where I can pay my bill at 10 o'clock at night with my phone. Virtual meetings. Charlie, what are your thoughts on this stuff?
I agree with you, Mike. I remember sitting in an OAJ meeting or seminar and listening to Stephen Gersten up in Michigan, who built a big auto practice, injury practice up there. And in addition to everything you said, I mean, even pre-COVID, it really helps you convert calls into customers by having all these things available, specifically an e-sign for employment agreements. And I remember Gersten, I don't remember the stat, but talking about how many more calls he converted into clients by doing that. And we did do it pre-COVID, but I can tell you just from practice, more people, we had a number of people, despite having the ability to do DocuSign and e-signing different authorizations, we have many more people now who are willing to do it. Pre-COVID, you know, we would still frequently mail documents with return envelopes. It saves money in addition to converting clients. We have a paralegal now who got the e-notary certification, which has helped a lot, and we didn't do that until COVID hit. And virtual meetings are a commonplace. So, you know, everything that, again, might have happened in 10 years, I think, is happening now. And some of it is here to stay in terms of the frequency. And when we open back up, you know, maybe it will be, there'll be fewer people who want to do virtual. But there's still going to be a number of people who want it and expect it.
Don, I think the underlying message of what Charlie's talking about and what I brought up and you asked about was that law firms need to make it easier for them to do business in the new normal, as you talked about. Make it easier to do business in this virtual world we're in. And all the things we just mentioned will create great customer service, number one. And number two, you'll make it much more enjoyable and easy for people to do business with you. And in turn, they will carry your torch and share your, you know, your name with other people. You know, we talked about referrals. Create a great customer service experience with your firm, and that will happen. You know, we also talked about reviews. Reviews are critically important right now. People don't buy laundry soap without checking reviews while they're on their phone. You know, Amazon, you can thank them for that. But you need to be out there asking for reviews. When you close an engagement with a client, in that email that you send or even a letter, but you need to ask, if you had a great experience, we'd really appreciate a nice review. Our business relies on referrals, and reviews help those people know we're the right firm to hire. So anyway.
Well, Charlie and Michael, this has been great. Thank you very much for joining us here on Civilly Speaking.
Thanks for having us on.
Sean, I appreciate it, and I appreciate your podcasts, and you're doing a great service for the members of the OAJ. Keep up the great work.
And thanks to all our listeners out there. As an update, Civilly Speaking is now available for streaming on Spotify. If you like our show and want to learn more, check out civillyspeaking.com, and please leave us a review on iTunes, and we'll see you here on the next episode of Civilly Speaking.